Actions speak louder than words? Yes. Pastor Ray Bentley says, especially when it comes to our faith.
My prayer for all of you is that not just you will come and sit and listen and gain more and more knowledge, but there comes a point where what I believe and who I am inside manifests itself outwardly in what I do. The doctrines and the teachings of Scripture should come forth in your actions.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. There's often a big gap between try and do. Our kids try to get their room clean. It may still be a mess, but they tried. Well, some give the Christian life a try. Today, Pastor Ray gives us help with a genuine life of faith, where our actions are in harmony with our convictions.
Okay, Colossians chapter 3, the title of the message, Heavenly Hearts on Earth. Paul has been talking about the idea and the reality, the truth, that you and I who believe in Jesus are in Christ Jesus. And that it's equally true that Jesus is in you and me. And that whole concept of our identity being in Christ is something that should grow as we walk with the Lord. And where our lives are about dying daily to ourselves more and more and the kingdom of self, and allowing that to be replaced by the true kingdom of heaven that is in our hearts. And then through our actions, bringing the kingdom of heaven to the earth. So Paul says, beginning in verse 1 of Colossians chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. The word if there could be translated since. Paul is making an argument, and he's not really saying nor suggesting, well, if it's possible that you were raised in Christ, by this time, it's a fact. And he really is making an argument that now, since you're in Christ. And we talked about the last few weeks how that when you believed in Jesus, where was I inserted into the life of Jesus? My life begins by being inserted into Jesus, the Messiah, on the cross. That's where my history begins. And now my identity becomes lost in Him. His life now is my life, not just the source of my life, it is totally my life. And then was He raised? Yes, He did. He rose on the third day. And I arose in Him because I was in Him starting at the cross, the crucifixion. And if we are in Jesus still, then we too in Him ascended. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And again, though we do not fully understand or fathom what it all means, it is still true that in that we are in Christ, we are also seated in Christ in heavenly places. So Paul is now saying, since you then were raised with Christ or the Messiah, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Now, I want to clarify this a little bit because sometimes, let me say what might be a wrong way of taking these first four verses of Colossians, and which I think at times the church has done. You probably have heard the expression, he's so heavenly minded, he is no earthly good. And there have been times where the church, different generations, and I believe sincere, devout believers, have taken this and then said, okay, this world doesn't even matter. And we need to just go out into the deserts and into alone places and we're just going to be heavenly minded. Just pray all the time and meditate all the time. While I do believe that it is true that there are times and seasons to go away and to fast and to pray, And while I also believe that there are certain individuals who have a particular anointing and calling to ongoing intercessory prayer, God does not want his whole body to evacuate and separate itself or isolate itself from the world. He says, you are not of the world, but I want you to remain in the world so that you can be salt and light. You are my body. You are the ones who are my mouthpiece. You are my hands. You are my feet. I want to touch those who are hurting and pray for those who are sick and feed those who are hungry and clothe those who are naked and visit those who are in prison and bring good news to those who are discouraged and bring hope and faith and love. You are my body. So we need to be able to do that. In fact, the very reason that Jesus left heaven and came to the earth was not so that he could reign in heaven. He left heaven because he wanted to reign upon the earth. There was a rebellion that happened on this little planet down here. And so he wanted to rule and to reign and to heal and to restore what was broken and what was lost by Adam. Therefore, Jesus came to the earth to become a son of Adam. It says so much about us that God would become a man. Here in Colossians, earlier in the first two chapters, Paul has said that in Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. That is amazing to me. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. And so Adam sinned, and because of his sin, the Bible said, in the day your soul sins, you shall surely die. God gave us that capacity for free will, for choice, because he wanted a meaningful relationship, and to have a meaningful relationship, you have to have two that are willing and wanting to have it. What surprised, I think, the angels, and what they had never known and what they had never seen before, let alone even Satan. I think he thought that the whole thing, because he had already rebelled and he had been judged, so here is man, and I think he thought, if I can get into the garden and make him, reject God, then I'll prove my point and I will have won. In reality, there was something amazing that happened. Yes, the serpent was there. Yes, he deceived Eve, and then Adam joined in together, and they did make a choice of rebellion against God. But rather than proving Satan's point, God manifests a love and a graciousness and a forgiveness. In fact, immediately there is a covering made for Adam and Eve's sin. And God revealed something that I think took the breath of the angels away. He still loves him. He didn't destroy him, didn't wipe him out. He didn't start all over. He now, and as the plan developed and unfolded, God, which was in the mind and the heart of God from all eternity, that he would send his son to become a son of Adam. Why? Because Adam died. And the proof today, it doesn't matter what your religion is or your philosophy of life or your how wealthy or how smart and intellectual you are, what color your skin is, what language you speak. Everyone dies. That is a living sermon right there. Sin kills. And there was no son of Adam that could reverse it. It was, in that sense, irreversible, unless and until God became man. Therefore, Jesus became a son of Adam to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He also became a son of Abraham. Because to Abraham, God, when he saw in Abraham that he would trust in him and he made a promise to him, and Abraham said, I believe you. You can fulfill your promise. I trust in you. And God said, that's all I need. That's all I need. Abraham, from you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Through you shall come a son that will inherit the whole earth. Your children will inherit the whole earth. So Jesus became a son of Abraham. Then Jesus became a son of David. David was a king of Israel, sat upon the throne of Israel, and Jesus became, in the line, of David, so that he too, he is the king. He is the rightful king of kings, Lord of lords, and he came to prove that. He came to rescue us, and he came to redeem us. So, Jesus did not leave heaven to come to the earth so that he could reign in heaven. Jesus came that he might rule on the earth. And when he comes back, I mean, we keep talking about going to heaven. Oh, we can't wait to go to heaven. And all our loved ones were in heaven. But it is very true that heaven can't wait to come to the earth. And no one more than Jesus can't wait to come back a second time. And if I can make the contrast again, I do this often, because, and the reason is because it has such a profound impact in my life. The first coming of Jesus, he came knowing he would be rejected, though he is king. He came to die. He came to be a sacrifice. He came to be a lamb. He came to restore and to heal us by his death upon the cross, and then by his resurrection. Even though he knew that the majority would not even know it or recognize, and at one point everybody fled against him. But then he now sits in heaven and he's waiting. He has already bought and purchased with his own life, redeemed the earth and every human being. But now he is allowing each generation to make their choice. Will they then accept Jesus as their king and as their savior and as their Lord? At a certain point, he will come back. And the second coming is so different than the first. He's not coming to be a sacrifice. He did that already, and he did it once. That's done. The first time he came as a lamb, the second time he is coming like a lion. He is coming and he's going to roar. He is going to come. He came in humility the first time. He's coming in power and great glory. Revelation 1:7 says, every eye will see him. In his first coming, his glory was hidden. When he comes the second time, he's not hiding anything. He's not hiding his glory. He's not apologizing for anything. He is coming to take power and to rule and reign. And essentially, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is coming to rule and to reign upon the earth, and nothing in heaven or earth can stop it from coming. Psalm 48, verse 2 says, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Jesus is going to bring heaven to the earth, rule and reign on the earth. Long ago in a vision God gave to Zechariah, it says, the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. The war in heaven is about who rules in Jerusalem. In the meantime, you and I bring the kingdom of heaven with us in miniature or in anticipation, in little bits and pieces, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. When Jesus comes, the veil will be taken back and the full glory will be revealed. Now look with me at verse 2. Verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Our feet must be on the earth, but our mind must be in heaven. This means that our practical everyday lives with our feet on the ground in this earth are to get their direction from Jesus in heaven. It means looking at the things in my life on the earth from a heavenly perspective. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. And so that's where we get our inspiration, that's where we get our direction, that's where we get our perspective, is on our mind set on the heavenly things, not on the things of the earth. Verse 3, he says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. Your life on earth and, you know, the kingdom of self is crucified. It's done. It's buried. It's over with. And so your life is hidden with Christ in God. Everything now is about Jesus. And when everything is no longer about me and myself and I, and now everything in my life is about Jesus and my relationship with him and my walk with him, there comes a point where what I believe and who I am inside manifests itself outwardly in what I do. My prayer for myself and my prayer for all of you is that not just you will come and sit and listen and gain more and more and more and more and more and more knowledge and information. My prayer is information, yes, good. Truth, good. The doctrines and the teachings of Scripture, good. Knowing the truth, good. But there comes a moment and a time, and this is where the shift is happening from the first half of Colossians to the last half. Paul's been talking about, you know, who Jesus is and that you're in Jesus and that's your identity in him. Now he's going to bring that down to the practical level. So your life is buried. Your life is hidden with Christ, and that should affect what you do and how you live. It should come forth in your actions. I don't know, I wanted to share this with you guys that did I mention to you guys that my daughter Annie is adopting a baby boy from Africa? Yes, she is. And if I can shortly say what happened. See, I met Vicky in Bible school, and she was going to be a missionary, and she had said, "I will never marry a pastor. You know, the old ball and chain, locked down in one place forever. I'm going to be a missionary." So then, anyway, we met, and then we fell in love, and we got married, and so, you know, kind of gave up her dream. But then our daughter Annie. You know, she went through, as all pastor's kids do, she had a rebellion, and she had to own her own faith and ask all the questions, and, you know, so anyway, as we worked with her and prayed for her during her teenage years, and she started coming around, and then she said, "I want to be a missionary," just like her mom. And so we sent her on a short-term mission trip with Bob Gillespie's daughter Jordan and a couple of other girls to Europe. So they went over there for a while. And she went to the place that Calvary Chapel has over there, a Bible school, and checked that out and some other things. And then she came back and she goes, "Yes, I do want to be a missionary, but I need to go to Bible school so I can have, you know, more understanding to be able to share my faith." So, okay. And she ended up going to the Bible school in Seattle, the Calvary Chapel up there. It was a very small little college. And lo and behold, she meets this guy named Sean, whom she falls in love with, and then gets married. And she tells him, "I'm going to be a missionary." And he goes, "Well, that's interesting. I'm going to be a pastor." And she goes, "No! No!" So again, you know, she gets married to the old ball and chain Sean, and then, I mean, I don't know why being married to a pastor is so low, but anyway, she then said to Sean, "Okay, if I can't be a missionary, there's nothing that says I can't bring my mission into my own home. I want and have always wanted, and I believe it's the Lord that we would have a baby boy from Africa." Well, Sean didn't have that vision right away, okay? And so he goes, I don't know about that. You know, they have two of their own children. And so he goes, I got to go pray about it. Which is always our way of saying, that's not what I want to do. But anyway, he went and he prayed about it. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Yeah, Sean, now this is for me. I'm going to, you know," and he ministered to him, showed him all these things. And then the Lord spoke to Sean and said, "His name is going to be Isaac. We're going to call him Isaac." So anyway, we go to Africa, and Annie's all excited because we're going to Africa, and she goes, "Mom, Dad, you'll just bring a baby home with you." We said, "No, we're not. We can't do that in 3 weeks." So anyway, but we did get a lawyer over there, and the lawyer was from Africa in Uganda, and he said, "This is not easy to do international adoptions, and it takes a long time." He goes, "But I have experience, and I have certain ways, and if you'll listen to me." And it turns out he actually went to our outreach in Kampala. He went to the soccer stadium, and he said, "Oh, yes, I know Ray Bentley, and he even preached in my church." He goes, "This is wonderful. I would love to help his daughter." And it turns out his name was Isaac. So then they go to this little orphanage, and there's several little boys, and so they're sending some pictures of different children. And they said, "You know what? There is this one little boy, though, we think is just perfect for Sean and Annie. He's about 2 years old now. He's very outgoing socially. He's just ready for a family. And he's an orphan." So they said, "Well, you know, what's his name?" And they said, "His name is Isaac." So Sean goes, oh man. He goes, I thought we were going to name him Isaac. Lord, you were telling us what his name was. Then they found out that when he was about one, he got really sick, very, very sick. They were worried he wasn't going to make it. And this lady came, I think from like England, and she visited the orphanage and she paid for whatever hospital needs he had. And she just loved on him for several weeks. And he got better physically, but then also they said his personality changed. He just was more sociable, outgoing. It was like somehow this lady, and they, the orphanage thought when Sean and Annie called that it was this lady who was calling to adopt him. And they said, well, why is that? And they said, because her name was Annie. So all these neat little things. But what is exciting is that when you just love, not only in your mind, within the four walls of your mind, but or within the four walls of your church, but when you live out what you do, you are bringing heaven to the earth. And people are hungry for that. They want that. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, and we'll close with this. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I'm telling you that the days of the hiddenness of the glory of God are about over. God has his hands on the curtain, the curtain of the heavens, and he's ready to rip it in half. He's ready to reveal himself, and he is ready to manifest his glory. He has waited for a very long time. This has built up for thousands and thousands of years. And Jesus cannot wait. It says that when these things begin to happen, his feet are standing at the door. In other words, he's not even seated anymore. He's standing anxiously like a bridegroom in anticipation of going to get his bride. He will shout with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. He's going to shout and he's going to capture us up into his arms, and this world will be transformed totally. Humanity will be transformed. The earth will be transformed. The mountains will be healed. The streams and the waters will be purified. Death and decay and disease will evaporate. The deserts will blossom as the rose. The lame will leap as a hart. And there shall be peace and righteousness as the waters cover the sea. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Wow, can't wait. Pastor Ray Bentley with a glimpse at what's to come in God's future plan. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention Heavenly Hearts on Earth. It's available for just $7. And again, the title, Heavenly Hearts on Earth. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Colossians on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're so pleased to make available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I think many Christians read through the mentions of the Jewish feasts in the Bible in the same way they read those long lists of begats. You know, they just skim through them. Well, the feasts are a part of Jewish history and tradition that have little or nothing to do with New Testament Christianity, or so they say. But you say otherwise in this book, don't you?
Well, yes. This is something, it's not unique just to us, but it's something literally happening around the world. The church is starting to relook at the feasts of the Lord. And we've done a good job at looking at the feasts of the first coming from Passover to Pentecost. But now the church is awakening that there's three more feasts in the fall, from trumpets to tabernacles, that point to the return of Jesus Christ. And they're not called the feasts of the Jews, though they were originally. They're called the feasts of the Lord. Hmm. And so all seven, Dave, point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So these feasts are for us, and I think it's time to take a fresh look at their meaning and their purpose.
All right, and I know you do that in your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's even more to help us understand the times in which we live. The Holy Land Key is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Colossians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.